I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, tonight's show will be jam-packed with information as usual. We've got some blockbuster news concerning the ascension process, as well as we'll be getting into some yoga teachings from Swami Satchidananda, and also some political opinions and observations concerning what's happening in the world currently from a spiritual perspective. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga, and that's mantra repetition. That'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari
Shanti.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, and technology as much as humanly possible. I'd like to also thank the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you, as you're already making the optimum difference just by being you. And others, become aware of the difference you're making when you're doing your passion. And speaking of passion, I much appreciate hearing from ET Yoga listeners, especially concerning your successes utilizing concepts, ideas, and techniques that you hear on this program. I also appreciate hearing suggestions concerning program content. And you can always email me at paperfungo, 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 at yahoo.ca. Well, I'm preparing for tonight's program. I've come across some really blockbuster information concerning the ascension process that comes from the inner earth and specifically from Adamas. And this information comes from an interview from Alfred Weber. And he is interviewing a man named Lowell Johnson. So I highly recommend that you check out Alfred Weber, W-E-B-R-E, and Lowell Johnson is the interviewee. And he tells a fascinating story about some of his explorations around Mount Shasta, and many others have also reported amazing experiences in that area. And according to his story, which if you listen to the interview is very credible, the amount of detail he goes into and describing the experiences that he had recently, where he is going in a cave and actually is asked by a being there in the cave if he'd like to go to Telos, which is the name of a city that is Lemurian in nature. And he agrees. Interestingly enough, he has an interesting amount of knowledge prior to his visit to Telos, which he describes as being in five layers and encompasses about a 30 square mile area. He also described a specific meeting with a council there from of Lemurians, the leader there being Adamas, and the blockbuster information was that the shift in consciousness will be December 21st, 2020, and part of the reason that he was there, according to what the Lemurians told him when he kind of asked, you know, kind of like, why me, you know, with this information. And they told him that definitely he was able to hold fifth dimension energy, and that he was clearly had an interest in the protection of Gaia, and that they wanted him to be an emissary for them to share information with humans, and especially concerning the information that the shift in consciousness will be December 21st, 2020. Now, interestingly enough, prior to my coming across this information, I did come across the connection between the Mayan calendar. And the Mayan calendar, actually, December 21st, 2020, is December 21st, 2012, which is an interesting correlation. The Gregorian calendar changed the months from 13 to 12, and the number of days per year lost was 11, and over 268 years is 2,948 days, divided by 365 days per year is exactly 8 years. So, in effect, 8 years from minus 2020 is 2012. So in their calendar, these two dates coincide. Now, I kind of wondered how they came up with the idea of the years difference, and apparently that was dated from 1752, or 268 years. And the reason they used 1752 instead of 1732, which was the original change, is that the Mayan scholars have long used the proliptic Gregorian calendar, which calculates dates backwards from its official acceptance in 1582. And they also use the proliptic Julian calendar for dates before it began in 8 CE and took into account the discrepancies caused by the change between them in 1782, or in 1752. So it's a little bit complicated, but definitely there's a correlation there, and certainly the Mayans were also involved with this ascension process. And another connection is also related to the find over in Busege, Romania. That's B-U-C-E-G-E in Romania. And I highly recommend you check that out. There's lots of information online concerning an extraterrestrial base found there underneath the rock sphinx, which is on the top of a mountain there. Actually, I've been there taking a cable car. You can't access the actual base. It's actually, even the entrance is not really known by most, although it is heavily guarded by U.S. military. And the idea there being that there's a holographic history of the Earth going back 50,000 years, lots of amazing technology there. However, this has pretty much been kept a secret, although there are now a number of books that are out there related to this subject, and these are from Peter Moon. The author is Radu Sinemar. And I've read four of them, Transylvania Sunrise, Transylvania Moonrise, Mystery of Egypt, and The Secret Parchment. There are some new books out, one called The Etheric Crystal, which is about the third tunnel, and another one called Inside the Earth, the Second Tunnel, which led to, I believe, the fifth dimensional or beings there, commonly identified as those from Shambhala. And I would highly recommend reading these books. I mean, there was a lot of political brouhaha over this discovery. The Romanians wanted to make it public, but it was actually U.S. interests and the Vatican that eventually put enough pressure on them to keep it quiet, although these books are now out there. So, you know, it's amazing information. But tying together the idea of consciousness in the inner earth. Also, in the last month, I've also received information that the Atlanteans also have a faction in the inner earth, and that they had evolved to a point where they were actually had activated their 12 chakras and their 12-stranded DNA, and that all of them would be involved clearly in Earth ascension. Also, according to Solara Anra, who I consider a very good channel of Pleiadian sources, that's S-O-L-A-R-A-A-N-R-A, Solara Anra, she has two recent videos on YouTube, one called the 0808 Lionsgate Activation, which I highly recommend because she talks about the fact that this Lionsgate's now opened. It's a direct channel to fifth-dimensional energy and New Earth, and that she has a follow-up called the September Equinox Urgent Message. And I highly recommend people check out this September Equinox Urgent Message, and that's from Solara Anra, one of her YouTubes, because goes into the fact that the urgent message is primarily around the fact of in these critical times, especially towards the end of this year and leading up to December 21st, 2020, this is the time to focus on connecting with the energies of the inner earth and fifth-dimensional energy. And not to get lost in the distractions that are taking place, especially if you're one of those people that either gets depressed or angry or in fear with all the new events that are happening on the surface. And clearly, there's reason if you get totally lost in that type of information. And so you need to limit the kind of time that you're spending either watching especially mainstream television or even alternative news to the extent that you're totally focused on all that's going on. And, of course, the new focus now is around the election results in the United States. Now, related as well to this ascension process, while this person that went to the inner earth, while he was there, he also noticed, and that's Lowell Johnson, that according to him, that this 3D to 5D ascension earth split that is happening now, there is a living stone in Telos, in the inner earth, that it was a gift from the Venusians, and which he saw, and the capstone of this living stone changes colors based on the optimum frequency for that day. I thought that was quite an interesting bit of information. Right now, it's a small minority of beings who have truly committed themselves to the new earth. In time, more will likely join as they see the writing on the wall, but still the majority will likely struggle and strive to bind to the old reality. At least that's the current trend. It means that many will not have the vibrational level to attain the new consciousness as the window closes, in which case new existences will become available in other constellations commensurate with that level of vibration and evolution. And there appears to be a sense of urgency for the fifth dimensional shift. And personally, I can see that because on the on the surface, clearly the controllers are at a point where the Alpha Draconians pretty much are losing control of humanity, and in my opinion have turned over control to AI for electronic control. And fortunately, there is indeed a wave of human souls who are understanding the sense of urgency, who are reconnecting with Source and 5D energy, and indeed are embracing this next necessary shift. And the new paradigm of the fifth density is a magical place to be. It's a place of indescribable harmony, joy, and interconnectivity, where all life is respected and cherished. Gone is the disconnect from the divine. And there you can live in alignment with your purpose is not to grind out and graft for some material outcome, rather to explore the bounteous wonders of the universe and to learn, evolve, and grow. And it's truly a golden age. And you can begin to live that way right now. And it's greatly encouraged in order to facilitate your passage into the new paradigm. Despite the fact that the old reality temporarily controls the world's resources, and despite the fact that you may have to work within it for a while longer, it's important that all those intending to send to 5D switch their loyalties to the new vibrations that are out there and available to connect with. And other suggestions with respect to assisting in connecting with that energy are Andara crystals, which, by the way, the experiencer in Telos also saw many, many Andara crystals, and that's Lowell Johnson in Telos. And I've been saying for a while now that the Andara crystals resonate with 5D energy. As well, keeping your peace, and that again relates back to the message of the Pleiadians, who on numerous other YouTubes are also talking about the date December 21st, 2020. And they're also this whole idea of keeping your peace and not getting totally lost in all the distractions, because that's just basically what they are, distraction. And they should not be your primary focus if you're interested in the 5D reality. The idea also is to emotionally let go of the past and old belief systems. And I know that's difficult, but the fact is it's baggage that doesn't fit in that dimension. And the most paramount one of them all is to not be in fear, because that is definitely a low vibration and not to your advantage to be clinging to. So that's the latest with respect to the ascension process and shifting. I'd like to also give some perspective on some current events that are taking place, and from I consider myself to be non-political, so and I'm looking at this just from a political or a spiritual point of view. And when I look at to see what is out there at the moment, what I'm seeing is a large number of people getting totally lost in this. The election, whether it's a fraudulent election or not, in my opinion, as the next few days and weeks roll by, it will be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that, yes, this last presidential election was rigged, and that you'll find that President Trump will stay in office, my opinion. I might also state that from a spiritual perspective, if I were inclined to be a voter, I would be excited about someone who would have two primary focuses, which to me are the two big elephants in the room that nobody wants to talk about. It's not talked about in any political debates, and it's just a taboo subject, and that's the rollout of 5G and the rollout of the Rockefeller lockstep plan, which is basically the rollout of chipping the population through the vaccine program. And the only thing I see from on the political scene is on the Democratic side, you see a wish towards long lockdowns, mask wearing, et cetera, contact tracing, the whole nine yards, and the quicker the rollout, which no doubt would become mandatory vaccines on the Democratic side. And on the Republican side, what we see is information that there wouldn't be mandatory vaccines, but the rollout's the same. So the military, under Operation Warp Speed, is involved with dispensing the chipping of humanity and the chipping of American citizens through these vaccines. And even though maybe it won't be made mandatory, it doesn't have to be made mandatory if circumstances dictate it being mandatory. In other words, if an airline company says you got to have a vaccine to fly, and your employer requires testing, or which a lot of this you want to call it, issue that's being people are experiencing is spread through some of the testing as well. The whole situation comes down to a slower process from the Republican side, but to get to the same point. For example, President Trump made a statement the other night that there wouldn't be a lockdown in the U.S. because he doesn't want the cure to be worse than the disease. But you got half the states in America right now are increasing their restrictions. So it's not necessarily up to him either, apparently. So in my view, the long and short of it is I would get excited about somebody that's anti-5G and the chipping of humanity through vaccines. And let's face it, they're both connected, because if you end up chipping the population and changing their DNA, by the way, and then you hook this chipping and these nanoparticles up to the 5G program, what you have is a hive mind run by some AI computer program, and that is the plan. So in my view, the idea here is to focus some energies on the ascension process, because everything else to me is a heads I win, tails you lose scenario. So that's my 2 cents worth in on that. I might also add that there are things out there like fact check that you can't rely on. Just to give you an idea, one of the guys that I follow, who I consider is a really nice guy, but he's also super knowledgeable, is Dr. Barry Trower. And that's T-R-O-W-E-R. And he's a former Royal Navy microwave weapons expert who also worked with the Royal Navy Secret Service and the CIA. And he's considered an expert in microwave technology. And he's definitely, in a nutshell, so to speak, very against the effects from 5G networks. And on fact check, here's how he's described, that he's a pseudoscientist, conspiracy theorist and crank who believes that microwaves and related technologies are a major threat to public health. Okay, well, if this is what they think of him, I might add that there's been a petition of 26,000 scientists who oppose the 5G rollout to the UN, the WHO, the EU, the Council of Europe, and governments of all nations. And this is what they've stated. We, the undersigned scientists, doctors, environmental organizations, and citizens, urgently call for a halt to the deployment of the 5G fifth-generation wireless network, including 5G from space satellites. 5G will massively increase exposure to radio frequency, RF, radiation, and which is already there in the 2G, 3G, and 4G networks for telecommunications that are already in place. The RF radiation has been proven harmful for humans and the environment. The deployment of 5G constitutes an experiment on humanity and the environment that is defined as a crime under international law. And yet, nobody seems to be concerned. Well, you know, to my way of thinking, you know, if population isn't concerned about 5G and you're not concerned about the Rockefeller 10-step lockstep plan, which is consistent with the Event 201, and if you don't know about those things, then you should check them out, because it's being rolled out, and it's being rolled out fairly rapidly. I mentioned that I wanted to get into a little bit of yoga teaching as well. After all, this is ET Yoga, and in case you're not aware, Sri Swami Satchidananda founded the Integral Yoga Institutes, and the word yoga actually means union of you and your higher self, and there were six branches in his system. Hatha Yoga, which is most people commonly associate with the word yoga, is the practice of the yoga postures, the asanas, and the breathing exercises, or the pranayamas, and some cleansing practices called kriyas, and deep relaxation, and this is to strengthen and purify the body. So this is the Hatha Yoga part. Raja Yoga is the practice of meditation to balance and control the mind. Bhakti, that's B-H-A-K-T-I, yoga, is related to devotion and manifested through constant love to God. Karma yoga is selfless service, free from attachment to the idea of the results of those actions. Jnana yoga, J-N-A-N-A, is the intellectual approach by which a transcendence of the body and mind is achieved through study, self-analysis, and awareness. And Japa Yoga, which we did at the top of the program, J-A-P-A, is a repetition of mantras. So, interestingly enough, and I didn't know this after decades of being involved with that program, I didn't know that the Essenes from like 2,000 years ago, communal life was based on a set of rules and conduct and spiritual disciplines, and they also had a yoga system, and it included Raja Yoga, silent meditation, Hatha Yoga, physical postures and breath work, Bhakti Yoga, love and devotion to God, Jnana Yoga, spiritual study and discourse, Laya Yoga, a different one, but the study of using the chakras to bring about higher states of spiritual realization, Karma Yoga, creative work for the upliftment of all, and what they called Mantra Yoga, verbal prayer, singing, and chanting of mantras. And so this to me was really an amazing find, because in all the years I've been involved with Integral Yoga, nobody seemed to have known about that connection. And interestingly as well, a lot of people are interested in the Merkaba energy, and Bashar would like to point out that the Merkaba is not a requirement for ascension, but rather a symptom or a result of ascension. The Merkaba activates on its own as a result in a shift in consciousness. And the Merkaba becoming alive is a reflection of the fact that one has developed a pattern of consciousness which enables their perspective or their focal point to be unrestricted by the limits of vibrational density of the physical dimension or third density. So I just thought I'd point that out, that definitely Merkaba meditations are a powerful tool. And another powerful tool is at the end of the ET Yoga programs, I always share with the audience the Who Am I technique. And the Who Am I technique was usually giving credit to Sri Ramana Maharshi, who gave this technique called the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A, to his most dear disciples. And he says that for the substance of the mind, there is no other means more effective than self-inquiry. This is the direct method. All other methods are practiced while retaining the ego. Self-inquiry leads directly to self-realization by removing the obstacles which make you think that the self is not already realized. Meditation requires an object to meditate on, whereas in self-inquiry, there is only the subject and no object. This is the difference between the two. And when asked why should self-inquiry alone be considered the direct path to realization, he stated that because every kind of path except self-inquiry presupposes the retention of the mind as the instrument for finding it and cannot be followed without the mind. The ego may take different and more subtle forms at different stages of one's practice, but it is never destroyed. The attempt to destroy the ego or the mind by methods other than self-inquiry is like a thief turning policeman to catch a thief that is himself. Self-inquiry alone can reveal the truth that neither the ego nor the mind really exists, and enables one to realize the pure, undifferentiated being of the self or the absolute. And that's a direct quote from Sri Ramana Maharshi. And I'd also like to share with the ET Yoga listening audience a perspective that's rather strong from Sri Swami Satchidananda, but it relates a lot to this whole concept of the modern day children and breastfeeding, and I think it's worth quoting from the essential teachings of Sri Swami Satchidananda, where he states that it's true that some parents don't want to have a child, and when it comes, they don't even take care of it. They take better care of their plants and their pets than their children. When the child comes, they just show it a bottle and won't even give it the milk made for it. The minute God helped the soul come into the womb, even without saying anything, he also created milk for the child in the mother's breast. Supreme Mother thinks of everything. As soon as the child comes, the milk is ready. But nowadays, in the name of some modern medicine, the first two or three days, the mother's milk is squeezed out. The baby is not allowed to drink it because it is curdled, they say. But that curdled milk is very important. If God wanted the baby to drink other milk, he would have given clean milk immediately. Curdled milk acts as a laxative which eliminates all the dried fecal matter in the intestines of the child. The first one or two days, the child should drink that milk. I tell the mothers, if you really want to call someone your child, behave like a mother. Don't steal the child's property. The milk belongs to the child, not even to you or your husband. Many mothers refuse to give that milk which God created for the baby because they feel they will lose their beauty. You call that beauty? Who wants your beauty then? That's not beautiful thinking. And it is probably the reason why, after some time, all that they stole from the baby and kept for themselves creates cancer. Denying an innocent baby's property is a sin. Mother Nature knows how to punish. If you violate any of God's laws, you suffer. You can't escape from that. You might escape from man's law, but never God's law. I don't mean to paint a dangerous picture of God. God is not there to punish, but your own mistakes punish you. If you put your finger in a fire, it'll burn. You are the cause for your suffering, not God. Don't rob the child of the food God prepared for it. Breastfeed. An interesting bit of information, and I also think that it relates highly to people developing their immune systems. The healthiest people that I've come into contact in my experience in life has been is about a two-block square area over in Brașov, Romania, where there's an incredible number of people that are between 90 and 100 years old that grew up pretty much, I guess, in rural areas and were never really vaccinated. They clearly have all their mental faculties together. They're mobile. They go to the climb up and down stairs every day, walk to the market. An amazing thing to see in this modern day where most people's health has gone astray. And I might also add that, in my opinion, the Amish communities clearly are the standard, in my mind, for avoiding some of the pitfalls concerning things like autism. Autism really doesn't exist in Amish communities. They don't take vaccines. They're not involved with electricity even, for the most part. They grow their own food. For the most part, it's organic. These are the guidestones if you want to really be healthy. Eat organic foods as much as possible. Stay away from the medical, if humanly possible. I utilize the medical, to me, is for emergency only. That's it. And I might also add that, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Big Pharma, it's been proven that Big Pharma is unnecessary. If you go on your internet and go up a world's first medicine-less hospital and read about the Qigong Center in Beijing, China, that dealt with over 200,000 people over a 10-year period with an 85% success rate, and they utilized no operations and no Big Pharma. None. So it was totally irrelevant. It's been proven. And getting off pills, finding a way to naturally get to the point instead of looking for the magic pill all the time, which so many Americans are into. The technology now has gotten to the point of it's already out of hand, in my opinion. There's so many people addicted to their cell phones that they are in their iPhones or whatever they call them. I don't know. I don't have one. I haven't been forced to have one yet, so, you know, I don't have one. I don't watch cable television. I don't have a television. I don't take cable. I refuse to pay whatever it costs, the $50 or whatever amount it is per month to be brainwashed. Not into it. I try to practice what I say on this program. Try to distance myself from technology. Lowers your frequency generally. And now we're seeing all kinds of science concerning brainwashing methods that are happening through the iPhone. We're talking about the takeover of humanity here by AI. And who's operating the AI? Well, I'm sure most people wouldn't have a clue. So this is serious business, and it's definitely time for people to take a look at what's happening. But I don't know, it's advancing so far so fast, and you can see that the people are addicted to life that centers around a computer screen and an iPhone. And to me, if that's the kind of life you want, well, that's what you choose. And I appreciate that it's difficult in the modern day to make a living and support a family, etc. So everybody's case is different on all subjects, including health and your need for dependency on the system. But clearly, the most optimum place to be is to be self-sufficient in all ways as much as possible. And unfortunately, I don't see that many people that really see that as a really a goal. You know, it's more to go along to get along. That's the way it is. Accept what's being pushed down your throat. So, I guess the end result is that you get what you ask for. I know there's lots of people that just can't wait for the new vaccine to come out so they can get their shot, and they don't have a clue what they're doing. They don't have a clue what the ramifications are on their spirit and their soul. Have no clue about anything, and I wish them the best. I'd like to, as usual at this point, give my sincere wish towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and ascension. And in closing, share with you the Who Am I technique. And actually, this started a long time ago, decades ago, when I was involved with Baba Ram Dass, and he had an article in the paper in Vancouver, British Columbia, called The Georgia Strait, about this technique. And I did the technique, went through the doorway, and pretty much stayed there for a week. Then I got information from the outside world through a book called The Path of Self-Knowledge by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And typically throughout my life, it's been the method that's kind of happened with me, is I'll come to a realization or a concept or an idea, and then something in my outer environment, which is a frequency match for that, shows up. And thus, that book, and when I read that book, it became obvious that Sri Ramana Maharshi actually had the experience of self-realization. And he recommended this technique, and as I explained earlier, why it's so powerful. And the basic technique is to get to the highest place you know how to get to in terms of your own peace and vibrational level. And by the way, to me, the whole ascension process is about vibrational level and consciousness and the ability to be able to adapt to a fifth-dimensional existence. And it's not about anything to do with religion. In fact, there's a big difference between spirituality and religion. And when you get to the highest place you know how to get to, you place the idea of who am I in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And once you become that spot, you can ask the question and play with the concept and see what kind of energies you feel. But the main thing is to become that spot in the center of your forehead, and then you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of